We are recording live. Bruce and Donna Osher, you are here with us. You're not in Arizona anymore. Glad to have you here. Everyone has received a handout. You take your Bibles, turn to Philippians. The way I remember where Philippians is at, I think of General Electric Power Company. You got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. That's just the way I kind of know where they're at and in the order that they are. So we're going to start today. And would someone like to read just verse 1 of Philippians chapter 1, please?
To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and, just verse 1, and deacons.
Did you miss anything?
To all the saints in Christ Jesus, did I mean the first Paul and Timothy?
There you go. Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons.
Okay, all right. All right, what I want you to do is I'm going to assign you a verse and sometimes a different book of the Bible, and then you'll read it out loud when you get there. But I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 volunteers here today. I need someone for 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. Norma.
I'll do it.
I need someone for 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1.
I'll do it. Wait a minute now, 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1.
Tim, give me that again.
Okay, 1 Corinthians, 16, 10 and 11.
10 and 11,
yep. All right. I need Colossians 1, 1.
I'll do that.
Okay, Dina. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1.
Okay.
All right. Patty. 2 Thessalonians 1, 1.
I'll do that.
Okay, Karen. And the last one is Philemon 1, 1. Philemon 1, 1. Who took that?
Sure.
Okay, Bruce. All right, so... Norma, do you have first?
Sure, I'm just calling.
Okay, that's fine.
2 Corinthians 1, 1.
10 and 11.
It's close to the end of the book. If Timothy comes, see that he has nothing to fear among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord just as I am. Therefore, let no one despise him. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers.
Okay. Now, did you name your son Timothy, or is it Tim?
Timothy.
It's Timothy. There you go. Word for you there today.
And who knew when he was born?
Yeah, right.
But when he graduated from seminary, there were a lot of Timothys.
There was.
That is, man of God.
No kidding. Wow.
Who knew?
All right, 2 Corinthians 1:1. Was that yours, Jan?
Yeah. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia.
Achaia, something like that. That's good enough. Okay, thank you. Colossians 1:1.
Okay. It says what Christ has done. That's the heading. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. That's it.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 1:1.
Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace.
Okay. 2 Thessalonians 1:1.
To the church of the Thessalonians, and God our Father, and to Lord Jesus Christ.
2 Thessalonians 1:1.
Yeah.
No mention of Timothy in there?
Well, on top of that, it says Paul, Silas, and Timothy.
There we go. I just figured I'd go like,
Timothy. That's what you're looking for?
Timothy's included in there.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I'm sorry. I've seen that.
Okay. All right, then the last one is Philemon 1:1.
Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus,
and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker.
Okay. I want you to get a little idea here with look at number one on the worksheet. It's Paul frequently addresses his letters. When he starts out by them, he includes the person that is with him at the time. And so you see many times, I mean, the name Timothy comes up quite often. In some of Paul's letters, some of his epistles, he doesn't mention him, but it's he's mentioned a number of times by Paul. We're going to get to know him a little bit, because if Paul mentions him, there's a reason for it as well. So who does Paul include in this epistle, everybody?
Timothy.
Hey, very good. That's what goes in the blank. You write Timothy. And then remember that as Paul is writing this epistle, this book of Philippians, he is where? He's in prison. And in what country? What country? And then what city?
Must be Rome.
He's in Rome. He's in prison in Rome, so Rome is where?
Italy.
In Italy. So he is writing this book in prison. And we find that he writes also 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy are in prison. And then he refers to Timothy as his true son. And of course, it's his true son in the faith. So we know that Timothy is younger than Paul. But Paul has kind of taken him under his wing and is teaching him about the faith. And so Paul is kind of his mentor. What does Paul call himself and Timothy in verse 1? What does he call himself?
Servants.
Yeah, servants.
Slaves is what mine says.
Yeah,
and I've heard people say that the true interpretation is slave, not servant.
Yeah, it's doulos in the Greek, which would be slave. And
the servant does not do it justice.
Well, it's kind of like, depending upon your translation, some will just translate English as servant, some will say slave, some will even say bond slave or bond servant. And so it just tells you about the relationship that either they have with Christ as they follow him, or together as they work and serve the Lord together, that this is their whole worldview is what they're looking at. This is who I am. This is who we are. We are slaves to Christ. Now, if you're a slave to Christ, is that a negative connotation or is it a positive one?
Positive.
You know, it's very positive. You know, because there's freedom there with Jesus. Even if we're a slave or a servant of his, there's freedom there. Now, if you go into man's worldview, it's a negative.
Is that why they use servant?
Servant is always, you're thinking about others more than yourself.
But is that why they use the word servant? Because of the connotation we use with
life? Oh, I don't know. It's a good question. It's just kind of up to the translators.
Yeah.
The translators who work on their translation of the original language. You know, what they want to use. So, but, you know, it's a good point to bring out. Because today, what would you rather be called? What would you rather hear? Servant. Servant sounds better than slave. You know?
But a servant can change. The ownership can change, where a slave can.
Well, true. Yeah.
No, a slave could change too.
It has to be bought.
Correct.
Satan can't buy me.
Servant.
Satan can't buy me. A servant has free will to move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No.
Well, you know, we go into Romans. I think Romans talks about that we are all slaves to sin. You know, only Jesus do we become a free slave, where we become a slave of his, but also a servant of his. And it's, we're under his ownership. Jesus owns us because of what he did on Calvary, you know, dying on the cross for us and rising again from the dead. We become his. You know, a lot of times I think we lose sight of that. But servant, slave,
I think they'll
take your pick.
Days, there wasn't much difference.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, you know, back in the day when Paul wrote this, there was definitely slaves. Slavery was all over the place.
Yeah.
And it was pretty harsh, depending upon the master of the slave. You know, they weren't all bad guys, but the majority of them were. You wouldn't want to be a slave. But you know, to be a slave to Jesus, you know, that's a good thing. Let's someone read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Being that Paul talks about Timothy, let's learn a little something about who he is. Who was Timothy influenced by before Paul? Or maybe when he was with Paul. It has to be before Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. What does it say?
I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also.
All right, so who influenced Timothy?
Mother and grandmother.
Yeah, his grandmother did. Also his mom. When it came to the Christian faith, to be able to know who Jesus is, we'll get into this a little bit later. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. Acts chapter 16, 1 through 5. What do you learn about Timothy here? Sharon, want to read it? Go ahead, nice and loud.
1 through 5. Yep. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers.
All right, what do we learn about Timothy?
His father's a Greek.
Yeah, his father's a Greek. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Not a believer in Jesus Christ.
Probably not, yeah. It's very interesting that because of his mom was what?
A Jew.
She was Jewish. So because she was Jewish, she would know, she would have that biblical foundation of who God is and what God did for the people of Israel, yada, yada, yada. With his dad being a Greek, Greeks, do they believe in one God? Greeks believe in thousands of gods, many gods. They had many temples, many worshipful idols. And so you find that Eunice, which would be the mother, his mother's name, and then her mom was Lois, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Eunice, which would be Timothy's mother, she had a biblical foundation on what to believe and having faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the Messiah. And she, in order to become a Christian, you have to believe that. Or you do believe that. Jesus rose from the dead. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. The resurrection is the key thing. And when you think of what the disciples preached and taught after Jesus ascended into heaven, the resurrection becomes very crucial in what is preached. Because that's all it hinges on, the Christian faith. You get rid of the resurrection, what have you done to Christianity? You've destroyed
nothing.
It.
There's no hope.
You've destroyed it. Yeah, there is no hope. goes back to Bruce's friend. Afraid of dying? Well, Jesus is the one who gives us the hope of looking forward to what is there for those who come to believe in him. And Jesus promises what?
Eternal life.
Yeah. Forgiveness of sin. He shed his blood for everybody, not just certain people. He will receive anyone who will come and believe in him and trust in him as Savior.
I wonder what his father had, what his thoughts were on this.
Well, we don't hear anything about his father.
Yeah.
We just hear this little bit about his mom and his grandmother, but we don't hear anything about his dad. And the other thing we learn about Timothy and what was just read is what?
We're circumcised.
Yeah, he's circumcised. Because
that's what I
because
say his
why?
Father might say.
But his dad didn't let him.
Mm-hmm.
Because his mother was Jewish.
Yeah. But everybody in the area really knew who he was or knew his dad.
Yeah.
And so they thought, well, if you are going to be a follower of Jesus, it might just, we have to set you apart to be more Jewish. You're going to have to be circumcised. Now, I think that's where I draw the line. But Timothy, he didn't. He did. He got circumcised as a way of just saying, whatever it takes, whatever I need to do for Jesus, I will do that. Mm-hmm. Did he have to do it? Well, in this particular place and time, yeah. If he was going to be with Paul and to be in that area in proclaiming the Christian faith, and because he was so well known by other Greeks, he was just able to say that I am identifying myself as a follower of Jesus Christ to the point where I will circumcise myself or get myself circumcised.
You do it yourself.
Yeah, I don't think you do it yourself. Somebody else has to do it. All right. So I just want you to see that because now Paul goes to the Gentiles, he's going into Greece and into that area of the world that are not familiar with Jews and what they believe. So he's going into the Gentile world, which have many idols, many different gods. He's got to proclaim the gospel in a different kind of a way.
Kind of like today.
It is, yeah. You heard that before somewhere along the way? But the Greeks, if you said God to the Greeks, they would say, which one?
Zeus.
Which one are you talking about? Yeah. Which one are you talking about? We have so many of them. But to the Jew, you say God. If you say Yahweh, Jehovah, they would automatically understand that. But to a Greek, it would be like, well, which one is that? But to the Jews, there only is one God. And he has a lot of different names. But to the Greek, they have all kinds of gods. And so, again, this is a God. Of course, this is where Paul, when he goes into especially in Athens, to Mars Hill, and he's got a huge crowd in this amphitheater. That there's some that look at Paul as just another guy coming to tell us another strange thing. And they call him a babbler. What's this babbler want? And then Paul just says, well, I notice that you're very religious people. I see all the temples and what you're worshiping, but I notice there's one altar that you have out there that says to the unknown God. Well, I'm here to tell you who that unknown God is. It's Jesus. His name is Jesus, who laid down his life, was crucified, and rose again from the dead. Now, that is something they never heard before. So it was just a way of Paul getting to set the hook into those that heard him speak about this God that they've never heard of before. And it says that, was there anybody who came to believe that day? There was. There are people who came to trust in Jesus Christ as that God, as their Savior that day. And there's probably a minority of them, but even if it was just one, incredible. So that's kind of the world we live in today. I mentioned a little bit about this on Sunday. You think of the people that were at the, well, it was here last night, listening to you, Patty. There's a lot of kids. I mean, of course, the kids we've kind of see on Wednesday night, but the parents, there's some parents I've never seen before that were here. But they were here because there was food, probably. But they were nice enough to listen too. They wanted to hear what you had to say and how you said it. And many times you just said, it's a different world in Tanzania than what we live in. So it's the world we live in today, and it's even generations. I mean, all of you here understand the Bible because you're brought up with the Bible and, you know, singing the old hymns that go along with the Bible. And today you got the younger generation that thinks we are what?
Bible thumpers.
Jesus freaks.
Yeah, we kind of probably have a lot of names. Bible thumpers. Old-fashioned people, you know. And so we have to be mindful of how do we share what is near and dear to our hearts to those who are younger that don't know much at all about the Bible. And a lot of kids don't go to Sunday school anymore. A lot of their parents have never gone to Sunday school very much or at all. So that's really the kind of generation that we are to reach here.
Some go to Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, and they go look to a higher being.
Yeah.
Who is the higher being?
Yeah.
They can choose anyone.
Yeah.
Kind of takes me off. But that's how it is, you know? And,
I think, though, it's the generation behind me. They know there's God, but they don't want to be bothered with it. Mm-hmm. And they have a guilt complex about it. So they put me down, you know, because they're guilty. They feel guilty in their hearts.
They don't want to be reminded.
Correct.
Of anything that they're doing might be.
And I see that more in just the generation behind me, because that's when the little generation came in, you know. And that generation moved away from the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they never taught their children, and now their children are coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and then we're so wealthy. Why do we need God?
Yeah.
We can go to the store and buy food. We can get whatever we need. Why do we need God?
There's so many things besides food and shelter that we need, though.
But they don't know that.
Yeah. Oh, in their hearts, they know.
They know in their hearts, but they don't realize it.
They know.
And, you know, you look at toys.
Yeah.
They look for happiness in
entertainment.
That's right.
And they're looking for convenience. They're not looking for anything that's difficult or hard.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is easier, that's what I'm going to take, you know? You know, it's just like even here as a church at Harbor of Joy. If a person comes wanting to go to church or thinking they want to go to church and they have to walk a block because there's no parking available, will they do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or will they go to the church where they can just drive up to and there's a parking place right in front and they can go inside? Why do they call stores convenience stores?
Mm-hmm.
Easy to get in, get your stuff, and get out. You know? And, you know, to begin with, I'm just thinking, you know, people are kind of that way today. I mean, I get mad at that too, but I'm going like, well, I suppose I was like that too at one time. You know, if it looked full, all right, I'll just drive away. I'll give Bruce a call. It's okay, Bruce, you're fine. All right, let's just want you to see, you know, that Timothy had to deal with a dad who more likely was not a Christian, but a mom and a grandmother who really were right on track with the Lord, walked with the Lord no matter what, and also influenced him, told him what was right and what God, who God was and what he's like, and that's where he got his information and training from them. So it's just kind of an important thing to bring out there. All right, let's go on. We're just looking at the first verse, or the first two verses of Philippians. Who is this letter? Who is this letter written to?
The saints, the believers.
To all the saints at
Philippi.
Paul is where?
Prison in Rome.
Remember, he's in prison in Rome. Is prison a nice place to hang out? You know, first thing is that you can't do what you want to do. You're confined in a cell. But yet his mind and his heart are with the saints in Philippi. So, does every translation call them saints? That you got there?
Mine does.
Mine
says holy people.
Oh, holy people.
God's holy people.
Is that their clothes or socks or what?
Oh, now. Yeah, they're holy.
All right. So, yeah, so simply put, the letter is written to the saints at Philippi, which is to the blank in Philippi. The saints makes up what in Philippi?
Church.
You know, there's no such thing as a church before. Church is a word that Jesus used. It's ecclesia. It goes along here with the next one. It says, according to the New Testament, saints are God's blank people.
Holy
people. They're holy people. So the saints are anyone who is a believer. So believers, blank, blank, by the Holy Spirit for God's holy purposes. Believers are, this is where we get the word sanctify, get the word holy. We are what?
Set apart.
Set apart. Which means what?
Special.
That's nice. Yeah. What does this mean? Christians' lives are?
Different.
We're different. We're special. Our lives are to be different. Holy people. We are, and how will we, how will worldly people see us?
We different.
Different. Maybe even strange. Weird. Peculiar. Bible thumpers.
They don't want to have any fun.
Yeah, they can't have any fun because they're a believer. Yeah, there's all kinds of things you'll hear. But the word sanctify, which we don't use in common everyday conversation or wording, sanctify means to be set apart for God's holy purpose. So as a believer, I am sanctified. That means I'm set apart to be used of God for a holy purpose. Sanctification, which is the third article of the Apostles' Creed. So if I'm not any different than everybody else, what am I?
Same as everybody. Well, then you can surround yourself with believers.
Oh, you can. Sure you can.
I kind of live in that kind of a world.
Well, we're more comfortable with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it there.
Sure.
I don't really go seek out the other world.
You know?
Not like Patty. She dives heavy.
But you know, but that is where we make a difference.
Yeah.
If we're different. And Jesus sent out his disciples where? To be with other. There were no other Christians. But he sent them out so that they would listen and that they would become believers. And then they would start churches. There were no churches other places. So it's like, how did this church ever get started? Anybody know the history?
Harbor of Joy.
Well, Harbor of Joy. But it was a church before Harbor of Joy.
We know that one too.
You know that one, you know? But I mean, there had to be somebody who came to this area who said, we got to have a church. And there's a lot of different churches. So why was it going to be a Lutheran church versus, well, there's the Catholic church that's already here. Let's just go to the Catholic church.
They were Scandinavian.
Yeah, it was denominational. Really, it was.
You know, and there was probably more of that years ago than there is today.
Now you just hope your kids go to a true Christian church.
Yeah.
That they hear the word of God.
Right.
And what they're hearing is God's word. It's not just some psychobabble.
Right.
You know, yeah. Of course, that's where we are today. I mean, there's the church isn't what it once was. The church isn't what we see in the New Testament, because there's been so many different kinds of changes that have gone along the way, and not all of them have been good. And so, so it's important that, hey, is our church the church that is being talked about here? And if not, then we need to go what's here. We need to adjust our lives to what God's word says, not to make God's word say what I want it to say.
Sure, it'd be nice, though.
Well, a lot of people today would rather... I mean, that's why you get to the Greeks. Do the Greeks know what sin is?
Probably not. No.
They don't know what sin is. So how do you explain what sin is to a Greek?
And that's in our world.
That's right.
Telling these kids, how do we explain? It's hard.
Yeah. So lying.
Well,
basically, lying is lying a sin? Mm-hmm. Why do you call lying a sin?
Because it's not what God wants you to do.
Okay, it's not what God, because we know that God is always truthful. So if it's always truthful for God, then if we do something opposite of God, that's more likely that's sinful. And then, what's wrong with sin?
But you don't want them to think that God is just taking down when you're doing wrong things either. So it's hard to balance.
But what is
it? You know, sin.
Yeah,
and...
yeah. But they have to know law.
Yeah.
Before they're going to be open to the gospel.
Yeah. Sin separates us from God.
It does. So what does that mean to be separated from God?
You're on your own.
You know, is there consequences that go along with sin? The Bible says yeah. And the Bible is God's word. So, I mean, God says there's consequences, just like with who?
Mom and Dad, hopefully.
Well, go back to Genesis.
Okay. That conscience in there that watches your sin. It's our conscience. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do what is right, your conscience does what?
If I do what is right, my conscience doesn't bother me.
Right. But you know, we got
the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but we got kids today who think they can lie and it's fine.
They've numbed their conscience.
They can get angry and put up a big hissy fit, throw things, punch somebody out, and think there's nothing wrong with it. And then we go, well, wait a minute. Did Jesus ever treat anybody that way?
No.
You go, no. So then what you're doing and what Jesus does it conflict? You know, is it the same, are you on the same lane on the highway? And you have to say, well, no. Because we always go back, our reference point is always going back to what God's word says, or who Jesus is, or what God teaches us in the Bible. And for some people, that's all brand new stuff. For us, we go like, yeah, I know what sin is. And ultimately, sin will do what? If it separates you from God.
Destruction, death.
It's death. And we go back to Genesis, we go back to Adam and Eve. They had everything. Before, everything was perfect. Before sin came into the world. And God said, if you eat off that one tree, I mean, everything else is there for you to eat. But if that one tree, you eat its fruit, you will surely die. Did Adam and Eve know what it meant to die? But did they know it was like It wasn't a good thing. But when they did, it changed everything. And of course, that ever since then, it's been passed on through Adam and Eve to anybody else who's been born. And we deal with it today. We're dealing with stuff today we never thought we'd have to deal with. Have you heard of, what's it called? Racial theory. Critical racial theory. Or is it racial critical theory? I don't know. You know what that means? It means because you are white, you're racist.
You know what? I think God really likes diversity in that we're all pretty special.
Well, I mean, the fact is, science teaches us that we all have pigment in our skin. And science says that if you got this much of whatever it is that makes your skin tinted, it'll be darker or it'll be lighter. It just depends how much that, I don't know what the pigment is called. So it's shading. It shades. It's not what your skin color is. But we're made to believe by media and by what we hear today, your skin is the problem. No, it's not. Did you have any choice?
That's what I guess.
Somebody come out with, yes, Black Lives Matter, but all lives matter.
Yeah.
And you don't hear that.
Yeah.
Well, some people have it, then they get shot down. Because then you're just counting Black Lives.
Yeah.
To me,
then you're racist.
Okay, yes. Am I white?
Caucasian.
No.
I mean, this is white. This is white. You put this on by anybody of your, you know, any of your faces or by your arms, you're going to go like, well, this is white. But I'm a shade of, I'm not white. I'm just, it's a different shade.
It's getting out of hand. I'm just sick of it.
I know.
So last night at dinner, I had the opportunity to tell the kids that story about buying candy for the little ones that were so afraid of me because they had never seen anybody mm-hmm. my color. Mm-hmm. And I said, but you know, we're all the same. We just have different color skin. And they all agreed with me.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know, look at, you know, how does God, I mean, we're God's creation. God created us who we are. But did we have anything to say about it? We had nothing to say. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
God loves every color, every person. And yet we're being told different things today, which I go like, you gotta be kidding.
Well, it's in the schools. That's what's the problem.
And it's, yeah. It's it, yeah.
In some schools.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're bringing it to your school.
Yeah.
Jane said in Des Moines, practically every public school, not everyone, they still do, this has been a while back, when the practically every school had a sign on it, Black Lives Matter.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
now we have to do all this training on the computer at Hy-Vee, and now we have to do diversity and cultural training.
That's what they call it, yeah. Diversity.
Yeah. Like, oh my goodness.
Because yeah, I know.
We got gender, you know.
Okay. Well, we got that in it too. I don't want to go there. All right. So it comes back. I mean, God's the foundation we have based on God's word. Did Jesus die for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter what you did in life. What you. It's just, is Jesus your Messiah? Is he your Savior? Because only he can forgive us of our sin. There's nothing else that can, no one else can do that for you. And of course, the punishment, the consequences of sin with God, getting back to that, is an eternity of what?
Godlessness.
Suffering.
Yeah, it's hell.
Hell, yeah.
God says that there is hell, but there's also a heaven. Where is it that God wants you to go? Where is he wants all men and women to be? He wants them to be in heaven. How do we get there? Jesus is the way for us to get there. So, but a lot of people today, do they want to hear hell?
No.
No, but everybody wants to hear heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Or some will just say, I just want to be toast. and annihilated. I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Well, sorry, I don't make up the rules. God has made up this, the rules. And he doesn't want to send anyone there, but because he is a holy and righteous God, that's what happens. Because you did not want to believe in him, didn't want to follow him. So if you see...
The Iowa basketball players, the guys, all had equality on the back of their shirts. Okay, now what were they asking for?
You know, it goes all along with this whole diversity thing in Black Lives Matter, Karen. I mean, it's all over the place. It's in college campuses, and no matter where you go.
I mean, what do they want? It isn't necessarily all black lives or gender. It's, are you Muslim? Are you Christian? They just want to erase everything and everybody be equal all the same, no matter what. And we are not. That can't be.
Well, and then like somebody said, well, maybe if they want equality, maybe every basketball player should play equal amount of time every time they have a ball game. Yeah.
There's another equality.
Well, they're trying to cause division.
You know,
that's the whole goal, is they're trying to cause division.
They're generating, I mean, there's more prejudice today than ever, I think.
Awful.
You know, and I thought we're at a point where we're going to go like, hey, all our blood is red. Doesn't matter what skin color is. And we just respect each other and we love each other and life goes on. But I treat you the way you want to be treated. You treat me the way I want to be treated type of thing. And life will be good. It's a golden rule, isn't it? It's pretty simple. But because it's Christianity... or connected to the Bible, that's kind of the real enemy today. We're the problem. We're the real problem. It comes right down to it.
And the thing is, you feel so helpless. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah.
And pray.
And it says in the Bible that these watch for the signs of the times, for the end of time.
I've heard it said,
these are the times of the signs.
Yeah. I think
it's exciting.
Ken Ham.
There's a lot of people I want to bring with us.
Ken Ham said, I thought this was pretty good. He said, nowhere in the Bible do Christians become fatalistic and just say, I'm done, I can't do anything about it. I just want to go to heaven, and who cares if the world goes to hell in a handbasket or not. That's fatalism. He says, in the Bible we find that Christians are to occupy until the Lord comes. We do what we can. And don't get tired of doing it or being who you are. But wait, we don't know when Jesus is going to come. It could be 1,000 years. It could be 500 years from now. But we are to occupy. We are still to be the light and the salt of where we are. But don't become fatalistic and just say, forget it. I want to be raptured and out of here.
It seems close. So hurry up and tell people so that more can come with us.
Yeah, so that's where we need each other, to encourage each other, because, you know, some of us get down over things that somebody else can say something that will pick us up. And hopefully you come to Bible study today, you go like, I was glad I was there. Or if you go away, driving away, you go like, that was a waste of time. You know? Then we got problems. But anyway, let's move on here. It's already 1 o'clock, but we did digress a little bit to begin with, so we'll go over time. But if you do have to leave and do something, you can sure do that. But let's finish this if we can. We're on number B, I think 4B. What else do we see in those first two verses? It's including, you know, it's talking about the church, but then he also includes what?
It says overseers and deacons?
Yes, overseers and deacons. Who are they? Who are those people?
Church leadership.
It's leaders in the church. You know, you got the overseers who are basically dealing with more of the spiritual matters of the church, helping people spiritually and making sure that the church is operating and getting fed and doing the things that are important in growing in people's faith and evangelizing and discipleship and worship and fellowship and all those things. The deacons are more of the physical. They're like some places they call them trustees. They're concerned about the physical part of the church, or the parking lot and the lawn and the air conditioning and the heating kind of a thing. The paying of bills, paying the staff. That's kind of their focal point is. If we go underneath B there, it says, we find that because it mentions overseers and deacons, there is blank within the church. What do you call it? Their structure.
Okay.
Their structure. And a church will be no better than its leaders. You can have the best church ever, best members, but if you got the poorest leaders, what's that going to do for the church? It's not going to help.
We have a good leader.
You know? So when it comes to leadership, you're looking for, this long time ago, I heard a pastor say, when it comes to leadership, you look for, it's like wood. What is a hard wood, Bruce?
Well, you're getting pretty technical.
I know.
You don't really answer to
What is a
technical answer? Or
I don't know. It depends what you say.
Hardwoods are ash and oak and.
Okay, good. All right, good. Okay, softwood is what?
It's an incorrect. Yeah.
Okay, pine.
It's the pines the firs.
Sure. Yeah. So he just said that you want strong leaders. You want to look for oak versus pine when it comes to leaders. And I go like. That makes sense. But do you become oak like that? Does hardwoods grow a lot slower than pine?
Sure.
It does, sure. Yeah. So, it takes some maturity to become a good leader. And so I go like, well, it makes sense. You don't want somebody fresh and green being in leadership, because they need to learn how to lead. They need to learn from those ahead of them or who are older than them. And one day they can lead, but it's a process. So it's always important to know who you get to lead in a church. You want hard wood. You want oak, good oak. Not pine. That's free today. Free advice. all right, you go down there. In some churches, there are elders and trustees. That's kind of what those two blanks are. And they take that out of First and Second Timothy, and even Titus is kind of where it talks about. Church leadership. They call it the pastoral epistles. And it's really talking about how a church has structure and what is needed in the leading of a church and what's important in a church.
And didn't they even set up our country kind of based on this?
Probably so. Yeah. 1776 and before? Yeah. But back then, most people, did they know the Bible and what was in the Bible? Did they read the Bible? Chances are good. When the immigrants, when your grandparents came over, what did they usually bring with them?
Family Bible.
And why was that so important?
It's the only book they have. I have my great grandma's. It's really, really cool.
But isn't it interesting that was important enough that we got to take, was it a little Gideon Bible?
Yeah, it was huge.
The family Bible is huge, but it had all the references of who was born when and who married, and you got the family tree in there. So you put that in the Bible. But they also believed in God. even if they didn't believe God, they knew that the Bible was important, that it was God's word they wanted to bring that with. People came over in the wagon trains. What was in their big chests? They probably brought the word of God with them. A Bible was in there somewhere too. You know, so.
Well, you couldn't just go to Walmart and buy another one.
No, you couldn't. No. Actually, I don't know where you'd get one. You think about it, where would they get one? And it was probably very expensive to get two. So, anyway, we'll just stop here. Time is up.
We'll start here then.
We'll go down to number five,
okay.
I guess.
Well, let's see.
We'll go to number five. We'll start at number five. I should probably make a note of that too, or I'll forget. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul, that he wrote this letter, and that's not the only one that he wrote in prison. But Lord, that he also will teach us as we go through this epistle, that no matter what our circumstances are, that there's still joy. We can still have joy in our lives, even when things don't go the way that we want them to. So I just want to thank you for each one that is here today, and just that it's a good reminder to us that even Harbor of Joy, the book of Philippians goes right along with that. And so help us to be like the Philippians, the believers in Philippi, and teach us through your word, through this guy who wrote this epistle in prison in Rome. So be with everyone that is here today, regardless of what each one does. May we know we are blessed and that we are definitely a people that can be very thankful for what we have. And we just pray for our country, Lord. You are still on the throne regardless of what goes on in this world. And you know how frustrating it is to us, and that we just need you, and we need to keep our eyes on you. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry for being a babbler here today.
Does anybody know where the May basket came from?